Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Hello and a warm welcome to ACB Radio's Main Menu. Main Menu is a weekly look at technology from a blindness perspective and is produced by and for ACB Radio Mainstream. Main Menu is also made available to radio reading information services around the world. On the programme this week, we hear part one of our look at Easy Reader, a Daisy Book reader produced by Dolphin Computer Access. We hear the third and final part of John Gunn's look at the Outlook 2000 calendar. And Noel Romey tells us about Skype, a new voice over IP application. That's all coming up this week on Main Menu. By now, I would imagine that most Main Menu listeners are familiar with DAISY, the Digital Accessible Information System. We've talked about this on Main Menu previously and in fact demonstrated a number of products which support the DAISY format. You can, of course, find out more about DAISY on the web at www.daisy.org. The vision of the DAISY Consortium is that all published information is available to people with print disabilities at the same time and at no greater cost in an accessible, feature-rich, navigable format. So in practical terms, what we're talking about here are the new digital talking books. And these are available from a variety of outlets, and you should check with your local library service to find out where you can obtain DAISY titles. Now, as has already been mentioned, there are a number of products available to play DAISY titles. We've demonstrated the PlexTalk PT1 on Main Menu previously, and I believe we've also talked about the Victor Classic, which is a DAISY talking book player. However, I don't believe we've talked about software titles that are available which allow you to play DAISY books on your desktop PC or laptop. And that's what we're about to demonstrate today. Easy Reader is a product from Dolphin Computer Access. These are the people that bring us the HAL screen reader and Supernova screen reader magnifier. And essentially, Easy Reader lets you do just that. You can take a CD that has been produced using the DAISY standard, pop it into your CD-ROM drive in your computer or laptop, and Easy Reader allows you to navigate the DAISY book as though you were using one of the specialist hardware players. So before we go ahead and walk you through the installation of Easy Reader and demonstrate some of its features, let's first talk about some of the system requirements. Dolphin recommend that you have at least a 400 MHz processor or higher, although personally, from experimenting with this product over the last week or two, I would suggest that you have something quite substantially higher. Also, you require at least Windows 98, so Windows 98, Millennium, 2000, or XP. You need to have Internet Explorer 5.5 or higher installed. And Dolphin recommend that you have at least 64 megabytes of RAM, although, again, I would recommend that you have more than 64 megabytes of RAM. You will, of course, need a CD-ROM drive in order to install the software and play the DAISY titles, and 50 megabytes of hard disk space. Your video resolution must be set to 16-bit or higher, and you will, of course, need a multi-channel sound card. This is a sound card which allows you to hear more than one sound at the same time. Now, more recent versions of Windows have WDM drivers, which will emulate the capabilities of a multi-channel sound card. But if you can hear music or Windows sounds at the same time as your software speech, then you have multi-channel sound capability. Finally, Easy Reader has a bookmark facility which allows you to record audio notes, and of course if you want to take advantage of that, then you will need a microphone. Okay, we have those system requirements here. and we're about to install EasyReader. I should say that there is a demo version of EasyReader available. However, the limitation of the demo version is that you can only read books which are supplied on the demo CD. You can't just read any DAISY title. You can only read the titles that are supplied. However, we have a full version of EasyReader here for demonstration purposes, and it's worth pointing out that it is a self-voiced install. So first of all, we'll kill the screen reader.
Okay.
And we're now ready to insert the EasyReader disk here. So let's put that in there and close the CD tray, and the installation will begin shortly. Now, I should point out that in order to install EasyReader, you need to install four separate components, and each has a standard or a custom installation, and you'll see how that works.
Welcome to the EasyReader installation program. At this point, you can choose to run the self-voicing installation by pressing the Y key on your keyboard. Alternatively, if you do not want a self-voiced installation, press N. To quit this installation, press Q.
Okay, well, we've turned the screen reader off, so we will want a self-voiced install, so I'll press Y. I should say that throughout the install, the speech you will hear is Dolphin's own speech synthesizer, Orpheus, which is supplied with all Dolphin's speech products, Supernova and HAL and Lunaprus and Cicero. So let's press Y. And the drive's spinning up there.
To install Microsoft Speech API UK English version 4.0, press Enter. Press keypad plus to repeat the speech and keypad minus to mute. Next button.
Okay, so first of all, you can hear that EasyReader wishes to install the Microsoft Speech API. Now, it's my understanding that it's just the English, UK English version which is supplied with EasyReader, although I would presume that other language versions will become available later. Also, during the install, it's not possible for me to tap the left control key the way you normally would to mute speech in most speech applications, so you'll just have to bear with it. We'll try and get through this as quickly as possible. For a standard install, pretty much you can get away with just pressing Enter on most screens. There are custom installation routes for each component. However, those really only allow you to change the path and the program group where the software is installed. There isn't anything too sophisticated in there. So, by and large, we'll stick with the automatic install here.
You already have Microsoft Speech API installed. If you continue, it will be overwritten.
That's fine.
Please read the following with the up and down cursor keys.
Okay, and we're told here that
Microsoft Speech API is a required part of EasyReader installation.
Okay, that it's a required part of the EasyReader installation. During this install process, I have no way of changing the speech. So obviously, most of you will be familiar with DeckTalk or Eloquence or DoubleTalk. I don't have any way of changing that through the install. I could use a screen reader, but I think it's important that you see EasyReader in its default state.
Please read the license agreement with the up and down cursor keys.
Fairly standard license agreement there.
Please choose the type of installation you want. Use cursor keys to select and enter to accept. Automatic installation.
Okay, some nice context sensitive help there. We're told we can use the arrow keys here, so we could select
custom installation.
Custom installation. Let's, for this first component, and I assure you that the custom installation for each component is almost identical. Let's just show you that now.
Automatic installation.
That's the default.
Custom installation.
I'm just using the arrow keys there. I'm going to press Enter.
Please enter your name, Dave, edit area.
Okay, it already knows my name, it seems.
Please enter the name of your organization.
Okay, I'm unorganized, so we'll leave that empty.
The destination folder for upgrading Microsoft Speech API is as follows. C:\int\speech. Edit area.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
You have chosen the following : register to Dave. Install to C:\int\speech.
And
group in the start menu is Microsoft
for the,
Speech API.
For the custom
choose
install
finish
for
to start
each
installation.
Component.
Finish button.
So when you do the custom install, those are the options you are given. Nothing more, nothing less. So and that's the same for each of the four components. So we'll proceed here by pressing enter again.
Cancel button. 19%. 54%. 100%. The installation of Microsoft Speech API has completed successfully. OK button.
A nice touch that you were able to hear there was the progress of the install being announced automatically. That would certainly be useful if that were more widely available.
To install Microsoft Text-2-Speech Engine UK English version 1.0, press Enter. Press keypad plus to repeat the speech and keypad minus to mute. Next button.
Okay, we're being asked to install the Microsoft TTS again. I think I have this installed, so I can.
You already have
enter.
Microsoft.
Yes.
Please read the following with the up and down cursor keys.
And this will tell me.
Is Microsoft Text-2-Speech Engine is a required part of EaserReader?
Okay, the Microsoft Text-to-Speech Engine is a required part of Easy Reader.
Please read the license agreement
with
the up and down. Please choose the type of installation you want. Use cursor keys to select and custom automatic installation.
Okay, we'll take the custom. And again, obviously, I can't just tap that control key to mute speech as one normally would with speech products.
You have chosen the following : register to Dave. Install to see cancel button. 8%, 16%. 45%. Yet the installation of Microsoft Text-2-Speech Engine has to install Synthesizer Access Manager
SAM
UK English version 1.17. Press Enter. Press keypad plus to repeat the speech and keypad minus to mute. Next button.
Now it's worth talking about SAM just very briefly. SAM, Synthesizer Access Manager, was a Dolphin initiative in the early to mid-90s, the idea being that if you had more than one product on your machine installed on your into Windows that used the speech synthesizer, SAM would allow those products to share the synthesizer as a shared resource. So the idea being that SAM would minimize conflicts. Now, as I understand it, at the moment, SAM is only really used by Dolphin products. So if you had a Dolphin screen reader or Cicero installed and you're also using Easy Reader, you would find that SAM would allow you to switch between those applications, and each application would be given access to the synthesizer as and when it needed. So SAM is a required component here, regardless of whether or not you're using other Dolphin products, so we will continue.
You already have Synthesizer Access Manager DAC. Please read the license agreement. Please choose the type of installation you want. Custom automatic installation.
And again, those two choices.
You have chosen the following : register to Dave. Input cancel button. 1%, 13%, 45%. The installation of Synthesizer Access Manager SAM has completed successfully. OK button.
OK, and finally we should get
to
on to
install EaserReader UK English version 1.01, press Enter. Press keypad plus to repeat the speech and keypad minus to mute. Next button.
And this works similarly to the previous components.
Please choose the type of you have chosen the following code. Cancel button.
So I've just pressed enter to skip through those
11%,
screens that we've now become familiar with.
26%, 49%, 55%, 72%, 94%, 100%. The installation of EaserReader has completed successfully. OK button.
Now that's very interesting, because sometimes EaserReader asks me to restart the machine. On this occasion, it hasn't. Now, while that installation process is relatively straightforward, personally, I do think it's a bit laborious, and I do think it could be streamlined somewhat. There are four components there which are installed, and I think the installation for those components could be amalgamated into fewer dialogues. However, nevertheless, EasyReader is installed, and we have a number of ways of launching EasyReader. We could select it from its program group in the Programs menu. We could start it from the desktop or use the supplied hotkey, which is Control, Shift, and E. So let's do that now.
EasyReader, main window.
So the first thing you'll notice is it does take a second or two to get going, and I've installed this on another machine, and it's actually a slightly faster machine, and it still seems to take a second or two to get going. Presumably, EasyReader checks your CD drives and things to see if you have any Daisy books in them. Now, you can continue to run EasyReader as a self-voicing application, or if you prefer, you can use your screen reader. I would discourage you from doing both. You'll find that it's quite a drain on system resources if you're running a screen reader and EasyReader self-voicing at the same time. And you can...
EasyReader window.
There we are. You can toggle the self-voicing capability with Control and Function Key 1. Now, when you press Control Function Key 1, you don't hear any confirmation to be told that the self-voicing has been switched off.
Self-voicing on.
Although, when you put it back on, there is an announcement, as you just heard. Now, there's no menu bar in EasyReader, so there's no point in pressing Alt. However, you can navigate through the EasyReader controls by using the Tab key. There are a series of buttons here, and let's just explore some of them. Just pressing the Tab key.
Navigation Center button, CTRL plus N. Show Remote Control button, CTRL plus R.
Okay, and you'll hear that many of these buttons have shortcut keys associated with them. And like your screen reader, you will find that there are a lot of hotkeys which you may want to learn. I think there are 60 hotkeys in total, somewhere in that region. However, most of the controls can be accessed by tabbing around or bringing up the context menu. That's either by pressing Shift and Function Key 10 or using your application key. And if you've forgotten which is your application key, it's the key immediately to the left of your right control, so just below your right shift key. So let's start with the basics. We're at the EasyReader main window, and I've got a Daisy book here, which was sent to us, and this is called Raising the Dead. So I'm just going to pop that into the CD tray.
EasyReader window.
And we're still, as you can hear, on the EasyReader main window. And let's see, the disk is spinning up now. Now, there are a number of ways to open a Daisy book in EasyReader, and you can explore the various buttons or the context menu there to find out what they are. I'm going to take a more conventional route, trying to stick with keystrokes that you'll probably already be familiar with, and press Control O to open a book. Now you'd use this command in a word processor or other application to open a file. And I've pressed Control O, and we've got no speech feedback. So I'm going to press the Tab key here to see where we are.
File list box ncc.html.
Ah, now you can select where on your system or network you wish to open a Daisy book from. If I shift-tab back...
My network places button.
You'll hear my network places.
Desktop button.
Desktop.
My computer button.
My computer. So if I hit enter there on the My Computer button.
New folder. My computer.
Also, it's a good habit to get into pressing enter on buttons in EasyReader, because pressing spacebar will start and stop playback. Many of you will be familiar with pressing space on buttons, and that's a habit really that you have to get out of when using EasyReader, because space will start your book playing. So I've selected my computer, so let's go back to the list view using the tab
desktop
key.
Desktop button, my network places, file list box, 3 half floppy left paren, A, right paren.
Okay, I now have a list of drives, so I'm going to press arrow down.
Compact disk left paren, G, right paren.
Now that's interesting, it's gone straight to my G drive, which is one of the CD drives in this machine, so I have to assume we're in what you might call the icon view of Windows Explorer here. So I'm going to arrow back up and then arrow across to the right.
3 half bars left, local data left, raising underline dead left paren, F, right paren.
Okay, that's the drive that I've put the book in. The book's called Raising the Dead, and I'm going to press enter to open drive F.
New folder, raising underline dead left paren, F, right paren, ncc, html.
Okay, and that's the default file that you have to open to start your DAISY book, ncc.html. Now, that's one approach, and I could just press enter here, and that would allow me to open the book. So let's do that now. And as you can hear, the book starts automatically.
Dolphin Audio Publishing and Motion Books present Raising the Dead by Floyd Ray.
So I'm just pressing space there to pause playback, and you can press space again to resume.
Originally published by Platypus Rex Productions in Austin, Texas, the novel was copyrighted in 2001.
Okay, so space just simply lets you pause and resume. Now, you can navigate through the book a phrase at a time by using the left and right arrow keys. So let's do that now. I'm just about to press the right arrow key.
All right, including the right.
So I can just skip through the book here a phrase at a time using that right arrow key. And it's waiting for the disc to spin up again.
Friday morning.
Now, you'll have to bear with me because obviously...
March 2nd, 1990.
Obviously, SoundForge is running in the background, and SoundForge will also be using system resources. So it's not quite as responsive as it would be if you were just running EasyReader by itself. And I would recommend that if you are using EasyReader, that you're probably best closing all other applications while you run it. Now, the other way to open books, once you've opened a book using the Control-O dialog, you'll find that it gets added to the EasyReader library, and you can access the EasyReader library by pressing Control-N. So let's do that now.
List box, library, raising the dead, dash 101, writer, Floyd Ray, lost Oakland, 09/09/2003/21/14/36/F/.
Okay, so you can hear there that Raising the Dead has been added to my EasyReader library. So anytime I wish to open this book again, I can just select it from the library. Obviously, I'll need to make sure that the CD is in the correct drive. So let's escape from that and look back at some of these navigation features.
Toggle standard, compact mode, button, CTRL plus W.
Now, you'll find that EasyReader is fairly verbose, and after a time you may decide to use that Control-F1 command we talked about earlier to mute the self-voicing and perhaps use a screen reader. However, I do find that EasyReader is a little bit more responsive when you're using its own self-voicing. Another point to note about EasyReader's self-voicing is that you can't change any of the speech options from within EasyReader itself. You must do that through SAM, and SAM is probably worthy of a review or demonstration in and of itself. But safe to say, if you want to change the speech options, you cannot do it through EasyReader itself. I don't know if this is something that Dolphin intend adding at a later stage, but at the moment, if you do wish to change the synthetic speech from within EasyReader, then you'll need to use a third-party screen reader. And this may be user error, however, I haven't been able to get SAM and EasyReader to remember a change of synthesizer when I've gone into the synthesizer access manager Sam and followed the recommended steps in the manual to choose a synthesizer other than Dolphin Orpheus. I haven't been able to get those changes to stick, so if anybody has any joy with that, then we welcome your feedback. So if you're fairly new to Dolphin's Orpheus speech synthesizer, then here's a useful one for you. Alt and comma will repeat the last self-voiced message. So if you're tabbing around the various controls in Easy Reader and you weren't quite sure what Orpheus said, then you can use alt and comma and it'll read the last announcement. So let's get back to some of these navigation controls. Now, to some extent, Easy Reader does use standard Windows commands. You can use things like Control Home to get to the beginning of the document and Control End to get to the end of the document. How you navigate a DAISY book largely depends on the author and how the book has been mastered. Some books allow you to navigate by page, so in Easy Reader you would be able to use page up and page down. Others don't. You can't navigate by line, however, up and down will move you through section at a time or chapter at a time, depending, again, on how the book has been authored. So probably a good place to start is with the index, and you can bring up the index in Easy Reader by using Alt, Shift, and I.
List box, index, underline 8.
Okay, we're not sure what he just said. Let's try the Alt, comma command I was just talking about a second ago.
List box, index, underline 8.
Okay, list box, index, underline 8. So I'm assuming that's section 8 that we have selected here. So I can use the up and down arrow keys now.
Underline 9.
Underline 9.
Underline 10.
10.
Underline 11.
So I can choose which section I want to start listening to. Let's press end.
Underline 38.
There are 38 sections. You're one of those people who likes to turn to the end of a book and find out what happens. Well, so am I. Let's try not to spoil it for you too much, though. So I found 38. Let's press enter, and we should hear the beginning of the final section. And the CD drive.
It's been nearly a decade since these events.
Okay, there we are. I'll leave you with that little teaser, just pausing it there using the space bar. Now, within the index, there are a number of controls.
Level 1, cooldown list box.
The level determines the increment by which you navigate through the book. So depending on how the book has been marked up, whether the book has been subdivided into sections or chapters or headings, setting the level will let you navigate by those units. Now, this book has only been divided into chapters, so you can only select level 1 there.
Close button, esc.
There's a close button there, or we could use escape.
Book information button, CTRL plus I.
And there's a book information button, so let's press that and get some information about the book. Remembering, of course, to use the hotkey or enter, because spacebar will resume playback.
Book information, time, 12, 13.09 of 12. 21.38, heading, underline 38, level 1, no pages in this book, number of bookmarks, 0.
Okay, so we heard there that we're just over 12 hours into the book, and there is about 12 hours and 20 minutes of audio, so we're fairly near the end, obviously being in section 38. So I can just use the tab key to move around this information dialogue.
Okay, button.
There's an okay
time,
button.
12. 13.09 of 12, 21.38.
Okay, and this is really just playing the information you've already heard.
Heading, underline 38, level 1.
So you can review the information there just by tabbing round. So let's go to the OK button.
Heading, tie, OK button.
Press enter. So the point being there, really, that when you put a new DAISY book into the drive, you can see how long it is, how it's divided, what's going to be the best way for you to navigate the book. And it may be that you want to jump to a certain section, and obviously this is going to be particularly useful if you're using books in an academic context where you want to be able to refer very quickly to some information. How many of us have wanted to just listen to a particular part of a talking book and spent 10 or 15 minutes just trying to find the place? So we're back to the index dialogue now, and I'm going to continue tabbing through the controls here.
No pages in this book.
And you can hear there that there are no pages marked up in this book. Now, some books will be divided into pages, and you'll be able to select the particular page that you want, and I would imagine that academic works would be so indexed.
List box, index, underline 38.
And we're back to our list of headings or chapters. So as well as being able to navigate by chapter heading or by phrase, remember by phrase you would use the left and right arrow keys, and by chapter heading you would use the up and down arrow keys, and of course you can use the page up and page down. You can also move forward in time increments by using the control left arrow or the control right arrow. Those keys will allow you to move 10 seconds at a time. So those are the basic navigation commands, and you'll find that when you press them that the book will automatically, the default state, if you will, is for the book to automatically start reading once you've navigated to the area of interest. So for example, if I press Control Home to go back to the start of the book, you'll hear that automatically the book starts playing. Now you can change that behaviour from the preferences dialog. And before we start looking at things like searching and bookmarking, maybe now would be a good time to explore that preferences dialog. And you can do that by pressing Control P.
General Property Sheet.
So we're now on a standard multi-page dialog, and you can use Control Tab to move between the various tabs. And I believe there are hotkeys which will get you there even quicker.
Load last read book at startup, unselected, checkbox.
Load last read book at startup, and there's a checkbox. Now, I think in most circumstances you would probably want that unchecked. You're unlikely to have the same book in your drive all the time.
Remember last book position, unselected, checkbox.
Remember last book position. Now that might be something that's useful to have checked. Essentially, Easy Reader will remember your place, unlike a conventional CD audiobook where when you take the CD out of the CD player, you lose your place, and that's the end of that.
Repeat, unselected, checkbox.
Repeat, fairly self-explanatory.
Self-voicing, selected, checkbox.
Self-voicing, we've already talked about that, and obviously you can determine that in here, or use the Control F1 hotkey from within the Easy Reader main window.
Bookmark audio indicator, selected, checkbox.
Bookmark audio indicator. Now, I've experimented with bookmarks quite a lot, and I haven't heard that working yet. So I'm afraid that'll have to remain an enigma for now.
Apply button, Alt plus A.
And the standard apply button there, like you would find in any Windows dialog, that would apply your settings without closing the dialog.
Close button, Esc.
And the close button.
General property sheet.
And we're onto the tab control itself now, so let's move along by pressing Control Tab, because obviously if we use the right arrow key, the book will move on a phrase. So we need to press Control Tab to move to the next page in this multi-page dialog.
Highlighting property sheet.
Highlighting. These are obviously visual options, which are going to be a little bit difficult to demonstrate in this context.
Playback property sheet.
And now we're onto the playback property sheet.
Start playback when book is loaded, selected, checkbox.
Now, these are the options that I was referring to just before we entered the preferences dialog. Obviously, you can have the book start automatically when it's loaded.
Start playback when navigating, selected, checkbox.
And that's specifically the control I was talking about. Start playback when navigating, so when you use down arrow to move to the next heading, do you want the book to automatically start playback, or when you use the left cursor to move back to the previous phrase, or control left to move back 10 seconds. This is the checkbox that would control that behavior.
Skip a book content, Crownote, selected, checkbox.
Okay, skip book contents. I don't think we do want to do that, so let's uncheck that.
Skip a book content, Crownote, unselected, checkbox.
And we'll continue on by pressing Tab.
Skip a book content, sidebar, selected, checkbox. Skip a book content, footnote, selected, checkbox. Skip a book content, page number, selected, checkbox.
So as you can hear, there are all manner of options there for playback, whether or not you want particular information included during playback. I know certainly when you borrow some of those tapes from particular libraries. It irritates the heck out of me if I'm reading for pleasure and I'm hearing page numbers, although if you're reading in an academic context, you may want to hear the page numbers. So this is really testament to the power of the DAISY format, and all those options are supported here.
Playback speed 100%, Alt plus Shift plus J, and Alt plus Shift plus K.
Now this is something you will like. Let's start the playback with the space bar.
Motion books and
now we can change the speed without changing the pitch.
Including the right to reproduce
so,
the book,
Alt,
or portions thereof in any form. What
speed? 150%.
150%. I think the CD drive is just catching up there.
So ever, www.motionbooks.com. The audio ebook version of Raising the Dead was created by Dolphin Audio Publishing in the United Kingdom. www.dolphinaudiopublishing.com.
So you can hear there, I'm just using the space, I've got obviously to pause. So you can hear there, you can change that speed with Alt and Shift and K to speed up, and Alt Shift J to slow down.
Speed 125%.
Just slowing it back
speed
down.
Speed 100%.
There. And so you could do some serious speed reading there. Let's move forward to a later section.
Friday morning, March 2nd, 1990.
And let's
a clap of
speed
thunder.
Up the playback.
Speed 1, speed 1, speed 200%.
There we are, 200% there. So you could get through this 12-hour book in 6 hours.
Ring out over the old city. Jews and Arabs, haggling in the sheep market, looked south. Everyone ran the estimate. Would the shockwave be followed by another explosion or gunfire? After 30 long seconds, everyone pretty much assumed that the commotion beyond the trees, whatever else it was, did not involve the sheep market.
So there you go.
Apply button, Alt plus A.
Okay, obviously we have an apply button there.
Close button, S, playback, property sheet.
So let's move on to the next tab control. Obviously, control tab, if you use that right cursor, this is what will happen.
All was not well, but Jerusalem was back to normal.
So the playback would begin from the next phrase. So you must remember to use the control tab.
Display property sheet.
And again, the display options, a little bit like highlighting, going to be a little bit difficult for us to demonstrate here. Safe to say, there are a lot of them, and you can change the color schemes. And so that's it, really, for the preferences. So I'm going to press Escape to come out of here because I don't wish to keep any of my changes.
Toggle standard compact mode.
And we're back to the Easy Reader main window. So that brings us to the end of part one of our Easy Reader demonstration. Next week, we'll be looking at searching, finding, and what's the difference, and I'll be giving you my closing remarks. If you'd like to take a look at Easy Reader in the meantime, you can do so by visiting www.dolphinse.com.
Calendar Microsoft Outlook. Calendar Microsoft Outlook. Sunday, September 07.
Okay, this is again the third visit, probably final session for the Microsoft Outlook calendar. And again, my name is John Gunn. I'm going to give you my email address not only at the end of this presentation, but I'm going to give it to you now. And it is gunn@tznet.com. G-U-N-N at T is in Tango, Z is in Zulu, N is in Nancy, E is in Echo, T is in Tango, dot, C is in Charlie, O is in Oscar, M is in Mary. For those of you who like it phonetically. And for those of you who you don't, just G-U-N-N at tznet.com. Again, this is the Microsoft Outlook calendar, and I did receive a letter from a listener last week, an email, wondering if there was a way to play this and being at the computer kind of going along with this. This person wanted it to go through the functions as I'm doing it. And I had a thought since then for those of you who have Ventrilo, I would consider doing a session on this if you'd like, but we'll talk about that before I get done here. Okay, so it says Sunday, 07, of course, what I'm using right now here is still WindowEyes, and this is the 4.5 Beta 4 right out of the box. Set files work no problem at all, and I suspect that's probably pretty much what it is. Just as a little bit of a review, what we did is we set up an appointment. We set up an appointment, how we were going to do it, and so on and so forth. This week, what we're going to do is we're going to set up a reoccurring appointment, and I'm going to show you how that's done. And what's kind of nice about the reoccurring is you notice when I did the...
Button I, yes, dialog, Microsoft Outlook, would you like to auto-archive your old items now? Blank auto.
Well, actually, no, I don't.
Button and no. Space. Calendar, Microsoft Outlook. Sunday, September 0th, 7.
Now, that was not planned, but listen, we're all... that's okay. Excuse me. So, getting back to before I was so rudely interrupted by the... by eloquence, and I must say it did it in an eloquent fashion. What we did is we heard the calendar, or we heard an appointment, how to set up an appointment. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Referring to the heartworm pills that our dogs receive every month. It's the first day of the month, and that's kind of typical. Of course, as you know, some months they have 30 days, some have 31. And depending on the year, one will have 29 or 28, depending on what it is. Well, I'm going to set up a recurring appointment that'll check every once a week. And before I forget, I kind of touched a little bit on the Today calendar, or on the Today screen. And I really didn't do that very well. And I think I want to explain that before I do set up a reoccurring appointment. Basically, what that does is, if you have appointments throughout the week, it'll do it 5 days in advance. Of course, when I'm at work, I can look at, in fact, we'll go to today's screen right here.
F file pull down. E edit pull down. V view pull down. V current view pull down. G go to pull down.
Okay, Joe, go to pull down.
K outlook today.
That's the default is K is outlook today. Now, by the way, bring up an MSA mode.
Menu closed. Custom control. Loads on 7 links, 1 table. Loading page loads on 7 links, 1 table.
Okay, now I'm going to just go to the top by doing control home.
Top.
And I'll arrow down.
Sunday, September 0th, 7/2003. Link customize Outlook today. Link calendar. Link tasks. Link messages. Table 1, start 3. Link inbox. 0.
There's nothing in my inbox.
Link drafts.
Drafts.
0.
0.
Link outbox.
Outbox. 0.
0. Table 1 end. Bottom.
And of course, there's nothing scheduled for this week. But now, once we set up the reoccurring appointment, then we will see something different. So.
F file V. G go to G. K Outlook. C. Menu closed. Sunday, September 0th, 7.
And we're back in the calendar. And I wasn't, and really what that, again, the outlook today, I think that's kind of where some of your PDAs, your standard PDAs got this or whatever. Of course, if they're using Pocket PC 2002, so on and so forth, your basic Windows, that's kind of coinciding, but that's beyond a little bit the scope of this of this session here. So all we're going to do is we're going to set up a recurring appointment, and how we do that, and I will use my Alt key.
F file pull down. E edit pull down.
E for edit.
V view pull down.
View of course.
O favorites pull down.
Favorites.
T tools pull down.
Tools.
Actions pull down.
Actions.
O new appointment.
New appointment, which we did that already.
E new all day event.
New all day event.
A new recurring appointment.
Here's new recurring appointment. We'll see what else is in the list here.
We add or remove attendees. Dialog disabled.
Now, this is for adding or removing email contacts in the company. We're not going to deal with that.
Oh, new appointment.
And, of course, we'll just...
A new recurring appointment. Menu closed. Sunday, September 0th, 7. Rich edit start 8 o'clock. Dialog appointment recurrence.
Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to set it for 9... I want to go to 9:30. So what we'll do here is,
09:30, Rich edit NN 10 o'clock AM.
Okay, oops, we gotta redo that, Rich because what we'll do is we'll edit this out, and 09:30, 30P.
Rich at NN 10 o'clock p.m.
So, again, as we've talked in previous sessions, it's nine. It's a half-hour session. Of course, we could change it to whatever we want.
Rich at T start, 9.30 p.m.
Okay, 9.30 p.m.
Rich at NN 10 o'clock p.m.
10 o'clock p.m.
Rich at duration, 30 minutes.
30 minutes, that's kind of typical, and we can do whatever we want, but we're going to leave that alone.
Radio button check recurrence pattern W weekly 204.
Now, this is weekly, and...
Radio button check recurrence pattern D daily 1-4.
Daily, of course.
Radio button check recurrence pattern W weekly 204.
And if we had a weekly.
Radio button check recurrence pattern M monthly 304.
Monthly.
Radio button check recurrence pattern Y yearly 404.
Yearly, of course.
Radio button check recurrence pattern M monthly 304.
We're going to go radio with weekly.
Radio button check recurrence pattern W weekly 204. Rich edit C recur every. 1.
And I think this is every 1 week.
1. 1. 1.
And that's, I'm assuming if I were to type a number there, that would be every 2 weeks. I'm assuming that. Of course, if I typed in every 4, whatever, if it has to be exactly every 4 weeks, you know, whether it be the first day of the month is where you'd want to put this in there. So we'll leave that at 1.
Checkbox check recurrence pattern Sunday.
Well, we want it on Sunday because that's what we're going to do it for.
Checkbox uncheck recurrence pattern Monday.
That makes sense. No Monday.
Checkbox unchecked recurrence pattern Tuesday.
Tuesday is unchecked, of course.
Checkbox unchecked recurrence pattern Wednesday.
Wednesday is unchecked.
Checkbox unchecked recurrence pattern Thursday.
Thursday.
Checkbox unchecked recurrence pattern Friday.
Pretty obvious.
Checkbox unchecked recurrence pattern Saturday.
Saturday.
Rich edit at start. Sun 9-7-2003.
Of course, it's Sunday, September 9th, 2003.
Radio button check range of recurrence. Oh, no end date 1-3.
No end date.
Radio button check range of recurrence FN after 2-3.
And after, then, of course, is pretty obvious.
Radio button check range of recurrence BN by 303.
And by, and that's, I'm not really even played on this part, but I think,
radio button check range of recurrence FN after 203.
And after 2 and by is almost redundant, I believe, but I could be wrong on that.
Radio button check range of recurrence oh no end date 103.
But we'll end this, or we won't end it.
Rich at 10.
10. Now, this what this will do is this will show the occurrence of every 10 weeks. It'll in ten week segments, I believe.
Rich edit occurrence is Sun 11-9-2003.
Okay, so it's gonna start.
Button okay.
Rich
edit occurrences. Sun 11-9-2003. Button okay. Rich edit occurrences. Sun 11-9-2003.
Now this is Sun 11-9-2003. Of course, which is November 9th. This September 7th, so that's roughly 10 weeks.
Button okay. Button cancel.
So,
button okay.
We'll say okay to this.
Space, untitled appointment, rich edit, J subject. C-H-E-C-K, space, W-E-E-L,
oops.
L-E-E-W.
I'm going to just type in there, check weekly calendar.
W.
Whoops.
C-H-E-C-K, space, W-E-E-K, L-Y, space, C-A-L-E-F-E-A-R, combo edit box, L location.
Well, we won't type the location.
Rich edit J subject. Check weekly calendar.
Okay, of course, check weekly calendar. Just shift tab for that.
Combo edit box. L location.
Location, if it was a room or whatever, you're in a company, you have various conference rooms, so on and so forth.
Checkbox unchecked. This is an online meeting using.
Online meeting, of course, that would be if you're using NetMeeting or whatever, which we're going to leave this unchecked.
Checkbox unchecked. Our reminder.
Now, if I left this unchecked, it would be we wouldn't have reminders on.
Space. Checked.
So I want this checked.
Rich edit reminder duration 15 minutes.
And of course this will start 15 minutes before the appointment, just like our one that we did last week.
Button reminder sound.
Button reminder sound. I think I could assign any sound I want, but we can forego that, I believe.
Combo box W showtime as busy 304.
Showtime is busy. We'll leave that again by default. Well, we'll.
Tentative 204.
Tentative.
31. A four.
Free.
Tentative 2. Busy 3.
Busy.
Out of office 4.
Out
four.
Of office 1.
Busy 3. A 4.
But, you know, for this, we'll just kind of leave it as busy as it does default to.
Rich edit land. M.
Make sure to check weekly calendar. We'll do it.
A. K. E. Space. F. U. R. E. Space. Oops. A. E. C. K. Double E. K. E. N.
Whoops.
N. L. Lock. Space. C. L. E. F. D. A. R. Period.
Okay.
Combo box W showtime as. Rich edit, make sure to check weekly calendar.
Now I'm going to hit escape on this.
Button Y, yes, dialog, Microsoft Outlook. Do you want to save changes? Default button. Button N, no.
Well, I think we want to save changes.
Space. Check weekly calendar recurring appointment. Calendar Microsoft Outlook. Sunday, September 07.
Now, right now we're September, Sunday, September, well, 07th. 07. I love that. It's, and if I tab over here.
Rich had a check weekly C.
Now that's check weekly, weekly C, of course, that's weekly calendar. That's what that is. Now.
Sunday, September 07. Monday, September 08.
If I go to 08.
Rich had a check weekly C.
Now I think that's a holdover from.
Sunday, September 4. Monday, September 15. Sunday, September 14.
Oh, here we go.
Rich had a check weekly C.
Now again, we're Monday, or we're Sunday
Sunday,
yet.
September 14. Saturday, September 13. Friday, September 12. Rich had a check weekly C.
And I don't know why that's coming through.
Sunday, September 14.
Let me do a screen redraw, which is insert backslash.
Screen redrawn. Saturday, Friday, September 12. Monday, September 08. Rich had a check weekly C.
And I believe that's
Sunday,
because
September
we are.
13. Saturday, September 06. Sunday, September 07.
Okay, now we are at the.
Rich had a check weekly C.
And now, if I wanted to check this, let's say if I went back to my today screen, and I'll look in my Outlook today here.
F file V, V current G, K Outlook today. Menu closed. Loading page. Load done. Loading page. Load done. 9 links, 1 table.
Now, if I go to the top here and Outlook today.
Top. Sunday, September 07, 2003. Link customize Outlook today. Link calendar.
And I'm just arrowing using my standard down, up and down arrow keys. I'm down arrowing right now.
Today. 4. Link 9:30 p.m. 10 o'clock p.m.
And again, I don't know what that 4 is. I have not figured out what that 4 is.
Link 9:30 p.m. 10 o'clock p.m. Link check weekly calendar. Link tasks. Link messages.
And that's what it is. Now, if I had more appointments during that week, then, of course, that would be pretty typical.
F5B. G go to
four. And really, that's...
C. Menu closed.
That's pretty much how the calendar goes. Getting back to what I was going to say at the beginning of this presentation, and don't worry about... this would be more than I'd be more than welcome to help anybody out on this. If those of you who have Ventrilo, and if you'd like a kind of a hands-on, we could do this, I believe, over the net. If you're used to using Ventrilo, I'm going to give you give you my email address, and I will kind of keep this open till I would say, October, what is that, the 1st on a Wednesday, 8th, 6th, about the 5th, something like that. I figure if we can do it, I'll see what everybody thinks. If you're interested in doing a self-host session, let me know. And my email address is, again, gun@tznet.com. That, again, G-U-N-N at tznet.com. The calendar is pretty basic to use. I'm sure there's a lot more information that can be utilized from the calendar, but for all intents and purposes, this is how I did it, and it's pretty straightforward. You can see how you can set reoccurring appointments. You can set them in the future, whatever you want, and. So, again, if you want to do a self-host session, we can do that. Just email me, and if I get a few people, I'm thinking about probably doing it on a Saturday afternoon. I will try to accommodate everybody, even though for the folks in Europe, whatever, we'll see what we can do on that. So, again, this is John Gunn. Thank you for listening, and have a good day. Goodbye.
Hi, this is Noel Romy, and I'm back this week again to do yet another in a series of cool reviews about cool software here on Main Menu. And today I'm going to do a software package that is very new. And usually software packages that are very new have lots of bugs, lots of things that need to be improved, lots of very interesting things about them. And this one, I haven't found many things wrong with it. It's called Skype. And what is Skype? Well, I don't know how Skype got its name, but it is probably the best voice chat software out there that I know of. And we're going to talk about why I think it's the best. We're going to make a phone call on it. And we're going to tell you how to set up the program. Actually, we're going to do that first. Skype is, as I said, a voice chatting program. Voice over IP. It connects from PC to PC at this point, since it's very new. And it just came out on the 2nd of September, so it is beta, and people are still testing it, and right now it's free. One of its big advantages is that it works behind a firewall, and theoretically works behind NATs as well. We're very locked up on this university as far as ports. No ports are open inward, but apparently, if you're behind a firewall and not able to get out or in, Skype works perfectly. Somehow it gets under the firewall, does it in a secure way, and works. Some of the things they plan to implement are conference calling, video calls, and things like that. The voice over IP service that I'm going to show you is always going to be free, but they will add certain things to the service that are chargeable later on, I'm sure. But right now, it's just voice over IP and works. They touted on their website about working over NATs and routers and very difficult network conditions. They also tout the voice quality, which we will show you. So what you want to do is go to www.skype.com. We're going to open it up right now. I'm going to type in http://www.skype.com. And I'm going to wait for that page to come up.
Page has 16 links. Start.
Now, this is, I believe, this is the Skype webpage. And it's very easy to get around. But first, what you want to do is download.
Link. You can use the friends list as your personal phone book and speed dash dialer. See when.
Okay. First, I'm going to go to the top of the page. Skype.
Link. Link graphic Skype. Visited link graphic download now dash it's free.
And that's the one you want to look at. Now, you can go down the page, look at what they have to say about Skype, what it does, how it works, that kind of thing. Or you can listen to my review, which, as most of my reviews are, it's going to be comprehensive, or as comprehensive as I can get to. So you want to click on that download link. And it will pull up, the thing that says, you know, download from this server, are you sure? And you click yes, and you download it. It comes in as an executable file, so you can either save that file to your hard drive or open it directly from that command line. So, I have it installed already. It will ask you for a username. When you install it, it will ask you for a username to create. And that is the username that people will contact you with. So, for instance, with Skype, you want to use a username that you can kind of remember. Not like, I mean, if you want somebody to call you, you don't want to use like NER4728-2375B. You don't want to do that because that's going to be really hard to find. So, for instance, with my username, I put DJ_NER because it has to be 6 letters. And so whenever somebody wants to call me, they find me and call me. So let's go into this. We're going to assume that you have installed your Skype and that you have created your username. So I'm going to go into the Skype program.
Jaws. Skype trademark data dash DJ underline NER. Skype trademark data dash.
All right. We're in the Skype program, and it says my username. As I said, you're supposed to be logged in by now and ready to do cool stuff. The program has a menu bar across the top, which is a general menu bar. We'll go
menu
to
bar,
it.
File.
File.
New, tools. Call. Help.
Yep, and so that's, and you can kind of explore through that. I will show you right now what kind of things you can do.
File.
This is a file menu.
Menu active. Change status submenu.
Change status allows you to be online, offline, unavailable, kind of like any messenger program that you want. This thing will also allow you to send messages, so it has some features there.
User profile.
User profile. we'll go through the user profile thing right now. It's not too accessible, but it can be scripted, and one of my friends that we're going to talk to here in a bit on Skype is working on that. So we're going to go
log in as new user, dot, dot, dot.
Log in as new user allows you to log in as a new user. Very self-explanatory.
Select language submenu.
Select language. Very interesting. If you speak a different language than English, you can get Skype to work in that language, and it changes all the menus and everything like that. Very handy for those that don't speak English.
Options, dot, dot, dot.
Options pulls up a list of options for Skype, which probably you don't really need to mess with unless you know what you're doing.
Exit.
And exit.
Change status submenu.
So I'm going to go over here to the view
offline.
Menu. Oops. Get out
menu
of the change
status.
Status.
Menu change status. Menu bar. View.
View.
Menu active. View toolbar checked.
Toolbar.
View address bar checked.
Address bar.
View status bar checked.
Status bar.
Show text on tabs checked.
Text
view
on
toolbar
tabs,
checked.
Which you want to probably keep on just for accessibility safe. But we haven't gotten to the tabs yet because we're not there yet.
Find a friend, dot, dot, dot.
All right, tools menu, find a friend. Very important dialogue, and we'll get to that after we go through the menus.
Call submenu.
Call, that's kind of interesting. I believe you can go and...
Chris N.
That's the person we're going to call.
Menu, Chris.
You go into the call menu and it
message
lists people in your friends list. Kind of like your buddy list on, or your contact list on MSN.
Clear call log.
Clear call log clears your log of people who
invite
called
a friend
you.
To use Skype, dot, dot, dot.
Invite a friend to use Skype. Sends an email, says Skype is cool. Log in.
Find a friend, dot, dot, dot.
And we're back to find a friend.
Call friend submenu.
Call menu. Call a friend, same as in the tools menu.
Answer unavailable.
Answer,
ignore unavailable.
Ignore,
resume unavailable.
Resume,
hold unavailable.
Hold,
hang up unavailable.
Hang up.
Call friend submenu.
It's just the basic things you'd want to do with calling.
Menu call friend. Menu bar. Help.
And the help menu is pretty self-explanatory. So that's your menu bar. You can pretty much
leave
do
menu.
Anything in the menu bar that you would like. Now, I'm going to show you
edit Goldfing app.
The tabs, I think.
Start tab. Start tab.
All right.
Mom, friends tab.
You can figure out the tabs by using Control Tab and Control Shift Tab. Sometimes Control Tab and Control Shift Tab don't work properly. I don't know what the issue is with that. You have to actually be on the tab to fix it. And we'll ask Chris about that if he can actually work wonders and get it
edit
to work.
Goldfing Asla.
So, here's my friends list.
Chris N.
It lists a I don't know, it has an edit box of the last person I looked up or something. Arrows don't read what you're on in your friends list, so that's a bit odd. And we're going to, yeah, that's the friends tab. It's very, very self-explanatory. And you go to back. See, I'm not getting the control
tab. Log tab.
Okay. Just shift tab or tab a couple times until it works. That's all I can pretty much tell you on that one. Log, and I just got keeps getting gold fingers in there for some odd reason.
Prison.
It wants me to talk to gold fingers.
Prison.
Okay, these are the people that I've called,
Prison.
And you can use your JAWS cursor.
JAWS date 1329/7/2003.
There's my call
Prison.
Log.
1344/9/7/2003.
And it's listing
Goldfing Asla.
The people
1405/9/7/2003.
That I've called in the past couple hours, just kind of testing this thing out. So that's
PC
the log.
Cursor.
I'm not exactly sure what the start
edit,
is.
Start tab.
But it's there for your viewing pleasure or something. So that's the tabs. This is a very, very simple program to use. Anybody with little computer knowledge, you should be able to figure it out. Visually, it looks a little bit better than it is otherwise. So, let's go and let's see. How am I going to do this? Let us go and check out, modify our profile. Because one thing that allows you to do, every Skype user is in a little directory. And you can search this directory. And if you put in different info, like what language you speak, what country you come from, you can put all that in. and we're going to check that out right now. So I'm going to go to the Files menu.
Menu active. Change status submenu.
I think.
User profile dot dot dot.
And go to User Profile and press
Leaving
Enter.
Leaving menus. Type trademark data dash user profile dash DJ underline mer. Edit. No roaming.
So that's me, no roaming. And if I go and check out the JAWS cursor,
Skype, trademark, beta, dash, user profile,
or your WindowEyes cursor, whatever, it'll work with both WindowEyes and JAWS, no problem.
Your user information.
My user information. So,
fill in as many or as few fields as you like. All fields except your email address are visible for others. Username DJ underline nur email nuralark.edu.
Okay, so.
Full name Noromi 6 mail. Birthday MMDDI country United States. Language English city. State slash province home phone. http://office phone omnipish. Mobile phone. About.
Alright, so it's
PC
kind
cursor.
Of a mess. It's kind of a mess. Now. I can tab through.
Edit MM. Combo box English 0 items.
And it kind of doesn't tell me what I'm
Edit.
Doing. The best thing I can do is to tell you that you just kind of have to play around with the menus and the edit boxes. And we'll ask, when we make a call here in about 2 seconds, we'll ask and see if we can improve that slightly. Now. This allows you to put in all different kinds of information. When you get done, you keep
edit.
Tabbing.
Edit.
Keep tabbing.
Email edit. Nerdlark.edu. Combo box.
Some of the fields read.
Combo box.
Some
edit.
Of them don't.
Edit.
As this is a beta, we
edit.
Will make
update
sure,
button.
Maybe, that
Skype trademark.
They, and you click the update button to update it, and make sure that they might fix this for later versions. But there are going to bound to be bugs with it. It's very cool. All right. Now, theoretically, you won't have any friends on your list when you start out. If you do, Skype is telepathic, and it should be kind of interesting. But when you start out, you will have no friends. I don't know if that's actually true, but Skype doesn't know you have any friends. So we're going to find some friends. Why not? And we'll call a friend. So I've got a friend on my friends list, but we're going to find us a friend. So I'm going to go to the tools menu and go to find a friend, which is nicely, conveniently put up top so that you are not antisocial and you can't find a friend. Now, here we go. I'm pressing on it.
Skype trademark data dash find a friend.
Now, this is an issue. You get the box that, let's just make sure.
Edit Goldfinger Asla.
All right. That's why it keeps having gold fingers in there. I believe the edit box there should allow you to search things on the main page, but I'm not sure. I'll have to check on
less,
that.
Less advanced button.
Right now I have the advanced view up, and I can go and search for a name if I turn off the advanced view. The problem with that is I am not able to search for, say, usernames. Say somebody gives you a username, you want to be able to search for that username. So, for some reason, in the non-advanced view, I'll show you.
Edit.
There's only one
find
box.
Button.
One box, and that is first and last name. That's it. So, you can either
edit.
Search for all of the Bobs in the world, or all the Bobs on this on Skype, or you can click the
advanced
button
edit.
And
edit.
Search
edit.
For whatever
else.
Now, all of my fields are clear. So say I want, and it's best, really what you should do is just kind of put something in the field. You at this point, put something in the field, use your JAWS cursor to find out what field it is. That's a major misgiving of this program. But again, if you have JAWS or WindowEyes, you should be able to fix it somehow.
Edit. Combo box, 0 items.
All right, this is the first box you come to. The first two boxes are username and full name. After that is the male or female link. So, for instance, I want to search for all of the, say, females. So I'm going to search for female because...
Female.
Why not? Okay.
Combo box, 0 items.
And I believe this is country or language, something. I don't know. We just kind of...
Afghanistan.
It's country. So I'm going to search for all the females in the
United States. Edit.
And I'm not sure what that
edit.
Box is. I think that may be
edit.
City, state,
edit.
Something.
Edit. Combo box, 0 items.
Not really necessary. And this is a language box. I'm going to go down
Ocasian,
here.
Ocasian.
Whatever that language is.
English.
English. So
edit.
We're going to search for all the people, all the females on Skype that are speaking English and who live in the U.S.
Edit. Edit. Edit.
A whole bunch of, like, you can search on their homepage. You can do a whole bunch
find
of
button.
Crap. So I'm going to click the find
Skype
button.
Trademark data.
Now, okay, it's done.
Find button.
Right to the left of the find button, when you do shift tab, you get to the list box, which isn't actually identified as a list box. But you can use your read current line hotkey.
Username, full name, Amadita Maria Brown, United States English, Virginia.
And scroll down.
Amanda Lee, United States English. Amanda Lee, United.
Amanda Lee.
Boxer Simply United.
And Reese, keep Stewart. Going
Brown
and Eisberg. Going and
Bumpkin
going. So, that is the find, and you can, it's very powerful. You can change different things. So that's a random search. What we're going to do is we're going to search for a username. So I'm going to go and find that clear button.
Find button. Clear button.
On these people, when you find them, if you, for instance, want to talk to a random person, it lists everybody that's on, whether or not they can be contacted or not. So you just kind of hit and miss. It took us like 20 minutes to find a guy to talk to yesterday. But you just right-click on the name and do call, which we'll show you right
Edit.
Now, actually.
Less advanced.
I'm going to search for Chris N. Chris N is a good friend of mine. C-H-R-I-S-N. And do a find.
Less advanced button.
And a shift tab to the find button.
Find button. Skype trademark.
And it is searching. Now, to get to that find list, it's my crackly microphone. You can shift tab and find him.
Chris Nix Christopher Paul Nix English.
Yep.
Chris Nix Christopher. Chris Nix Christopher.
Apparently.
Chris Nix Christopher.
Chris
N, United States English, Fayetteville.
There's several Chris N's, and here is the Chris N we want. He's in Fayetteville, Arkansas, which is where I am. We're going
to
give him a call.
Root to PC.
So I'm going to do right-click.
Right mouse button, context, piece, add to friends, unavailable.
Add to friends, he's already on my friends
user
list.
Profile.
User profile.
Call.
And call. Now, before we get connected, I wanted to tell you what the advantages of this are, and why you'd want to use this over any other thing. There's very low delay. We tested it out, and I called him on my cell phone, and he talked on this, and it's exactly the same delay as a cell phone. So you won't even know you're on an internet phone. It says that you should use it with a broadband connection, and it also says you should use it with Windows XP, but it works with a modem connection most of the time, a little bit more of a delay, and if you're connected at like 53 kilobits per second. And it also, theoretically, works with Windows 98. And I'm not sure why that is, but we talked to a guy yesterday who said it works with Windows 98. So I'm on the call button, so we're going to press enter, and it is going to try to call Chris.
Leaving menus.
And it will ring, theoretically. There it goes. Just like calling on a phone. And we're going to wait till he answers. User.
Hello?
Chris, this is Noel Romy from Main Menu.
Oh, hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. We just clicked, we just found your name on the Find a Friend page, and we just right-clicked you and did the call button.
Great.
And so apparently it is working correctly. I just have a microphone connected to my sound board, and Chris has a microphone connected to his sound card. And
we connect to the sound card. I'm just have that and speakers, and it seems to work well. How's the sound quality?
All right, it sounds good through the headphones. I think that Skype has a way. Or has an algorithm in it so that if you were to turn up your speakers, it cuts out the echo.
Ah.
So that's a positive thing.
Definitely.
So I noticed in doing the review that it was a little bit difficult to use and hard to find the edit boxes and different names for the different controls. Is there anything we can do about that?
Yeah, actually, I noticed it's very easy to find the edit boxes, specifically in the Find a Friend dialog. I don't know if you've run through that.
Yeah, I went through that.
And did you run through
the edit profile?
The edit profile dialog as well. Yes. Yeah. While it's very easy to find the edit boxes and combo boxes, it's not quite so easy to actually tell what they are, because the JAWS doesn't read the labels. So I've created some scripts, which the first time that you enter one of those dialogues after you've run the program, it will run through and figure out what each edit control or combo box is, and then you can just tab through normally, and they will read properly.
Okay, so what is that in simple terms for users, because a lot of them don't really know how JAWS works. What does that do for us?
This means that basically you can download these scripts and install them as you would install any other scripts, just copying them into your JAWS directory. If you're running the public beta of JAWS, you'll need to go into the program, use insert 0 to go into the script editor, control S to save and compile the scripts, then alt F4 to exit the script editor. That's only necessary if you're running the public beta. So what that means to those using the scripts is that all of the edit boxes, combo boxes, list boxes, whatnot, within those dialogues will just announce themselves as you tab through, just like any normal application.
So actually, when I'm tabbing through the different edit boxes, I can tell that I'm on the full name field or the...
Yes, exactly.
Okay. All right.
It makes it much, much easier to update your profile or to search for other friends that you like to add.
Well, that's interesting. What have you done anything with the friends tab, the start tab, that kind of thing, the list boxes and the different things?
Yes, actually. The list box in the find a friend dialog works as an actual list box, and so does the list box on the friends tab of the main page.
And it actually tells you that you're in a list box?
Yes, it does.
That is pretty cool.
Those are just reclassed as list boxes.
Cool. All right. Well, yeah, that's pretty cool. Where can people get these scripts?
You can go to my homepage and get them off of that. It's at www.panix.com/CCN.
Cool.
There's a link off of that page for scripts for the Skype internet telephony program.
Cool. And can they also get your other scripts that you've written there?
Yes. I have taken some existing scripts for the DC++ Direct Connect client, and I've modified those a bit and made a couple of enhancements. Those are the only two scripts that are actually current and being updated. There are some really, really old ones for Yahoo Messenger, which people continually seem to be downloading, and I honestly don't use Yahoo Messenger anymore, so I don't know if they work or not. But if you want to try them, they're there.
Well, very cool. I've been really, really laid back in this review, making comments about it was really funny. I said something, and I'm sure everybody will find this interesting, that when you start out Skype, you have no friends. So, we decided that, you know, that we would you know, start out with adding you. So we did that.
Okay.
So
I can get more friends, or?
Yeah. I gave your username. Yeah.
Okay.
We searched for you.
Excellent.
There's another Chris N too. There's like if you search for Chris N, it finds Chris Nix from New York.
Wow. I'm Chris N from Arkansas.
Yeah. So you got to find Fayetteville Chris.
That'd be useful.
I don't know.
Otherwise, you can add even more friends, or
you know,
would be friends.
Look for them, you know, randomly. That's kind of what it's there for. Now, you and Jay have created a web bulletin board, as it may, and I just wondered if you could just give us a little brief overview and how Skype interfaces with your little system you have going.
Sure. It was created by Jay Meadow, and I've done some work on it as well. It's called Zone BBS at www.zonebbs.com. It's basically kind of a web-based bulletin board system. It has kind of a text instant messaging feature. It has games, bulletin boards, file areas, quizzes, all sorts of things, and recently added support for Skype. So what you can do is you can go onto this board. It's all free and quite accessible, and you can edit a profile which is where you supply information for other users to see. And in that, you can supply the username that you've chosen to use with Skype. Then there's a section of the bulletin board called user-to-user voice chat. And other people can go to that section, and they can see other people who have Skype usernames, and they can just click on your username and connect and talk with you immediately.
Yeah, it's quite cool because
kind of community building.
Yeah, I've got my username in on the Zone.
Mine's there as well.
Yeah, and Chris's is there too. And you can just go through and it says these people on the Zone have Skype usernames. You know, we're not going to guarantee that they're online, but click anyway. And it uses the call:// URL and allows you to call a person.
Yeah, it has on there, if you go to the voice chat section and you have not supplied a Skype username, it also has instructions in more of a text form as to how to download, install, and begin using the program.
Yeah, and we might put a link to this review as well when it becomes available.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Chris, that's about all I have at this point. I'm just going to kind of wrap up the review.
Excellent.
Give us a slight review of that thing.
Well, I mean, from my end, the voice quality is excellent. The delay is pretty much non-existent. I'm using just a microphone and some speakers, and I'm sitting right in front of the speakers, and I'm guessing you haven't been able to hear a lot of echoes. So
no, I haven't heard any echoes.
From my perspective, Skype is excellent, so go get it, download it, talk to all your friends.
Check it out, yeah. Save your long distance if you have to pay for long distance. These days, there's a lot of flat rate things out there. But besides the little edit box issue and other things, then seems to work okay.
So great.
I'm going to hang up from you. Tell them how actually to hang up on somebody is real easy. Really easy. You just press the escape button.
That's been nice talking with you.
And so we're going to press the escape button. See you, Chris. Have a good day.
See you. Yeah, have a good day.
All right, thanks for being on Main Menu.
Sure thing.
So I just pressed escape, and he's gone out of there. And I don't know why he keeps doing that. So that's about all I have for Skype and the program as it stands. Remember, you can pick up Chris's scripts at www.panix.com/CCN. And you can go and look at his page and click on the scripts link and then go from there to find the Skype script. Out of the box, so it works fine. If you have more than one person on your list, you just find them on your friends list and call them. Now, one thing I didn't do was sending messages, but that's real easy. When you are on your friends list, which I'll go or try to,
Chris N.
Okay, so we're on our friends tab and we see Chris N. We can right click on him. You can either do this in the Find Friends list or in the phone. You can either do this on the Find Friends list or you can do it in the Friends Manager right here. You can right-click on it.
PC. Right mouse button. Context menu. Call this PC cursor.
Call this
call
user.
Log. Ask authorization unavailable. Remove from friends. Rename ... View profile.
All right.
Send a message.
A lot of things. You can do send a message, and that's just like a text message. It pops up on your screen. So if you haven't added this person, if it's just a random person, you have to ask for authorization to be added to your friends list. And when that's done, they get added. It's just like MSN. So I hope this has helped you. Check out www.skype.com, skype.com. And also check out www.zonebbs.com for connecting with a community of people that also use Skype. This is Noel Romy. I hope you've found this review helpful. If you have any questions about it, you can always write me, ner@uark.edu. Thank you, and have a great day.
That's all from Main Menu this week. Don't forget, of course, you can visit us on the web at www.acbradio.org/mainmenu.html.